Let's turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 6. A weeping prophet, writer of the Lamentations, Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 6. Give you a few minutes to get there. I want to preach to you tonight on some things Grandma knew. Amen. She wasn't no dummy. She knew a lot more. And folks give her credit for her. Amen. All right. I want to preach a little while tonight. You say, why would you preach this message? Because I feel like we live in a day and time where grandmother and grandfather, they get discarded as somebody that passes out, you know, $2 bills or whatever, dollar bills or, you know, suckers and candy. And grandma's better, you know, than she's got more use than just handing you a piece of candy when you need it or spoiling you, whatever the case may be. And I know grandmothers and grandfathers, they like to spoil their grandchildren. I know that. But they have some wisdom and some understanding that I think you ought to be looking after. And one of these days, I know looking at these things and praying about these, Brother Pedro, I know one of these days we're going to have, a situation on our hands where grandmas ain't got no sense. Amen. Well, some of this generation we got now, when they become grandmas, I dread seeing some of them being mamas and daddies, let alone grandmas. Amen. So I want to preach to you tonight about some things that grandma knew. Good to see a good crowd come back tonight, ain't it? Amen. Sometimes you don't think, you know, after a Sunday morning like we had, you don't think nobody will ever come back. But you thank God for folks when they come back. Amen. And then I don't know if you noticed or not, but we're going to have fried chicken after church tonight. Did y'all see them chickens when you come in? You said, Brother Mike, they're still alive. We're going to learn to do it the old time way. Grandma knew how to fry a chicken. Didn't yours? Mine did. Chicken better watch out when Grandma came out with the big knife. Heads is fixing to roll. Amen? But anyway, yeah, some of you would die if you had to clean your own chicken. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? What? Cut off his head? What are you talking about? If KFC and Popeyes and Quick Chick went out of business, some of you'd never eat chicken again. Amen? I thank God for the Colonel, though. But anyway, I like chicken just about from any source. Just about. But anyway, we're not here to talk about chickens tonight. I did think it was funny. I thought one of them men a while ago had one of them gag things in their pocket. You know, people got these little gag things, recorded sounds. I thought, somebody's got one of them chicken things in their pocket. You can get them for turkeys and whatever else. I heard them chickens. I said, what is that? And Miss Debbie said, it's a chicken. I felt about that big. I know what it is. I know what the sound's coming from. But they was hiding over there out of sight. I couldn't see them. But anyway, only at People's Baptist Church, amen. Come on, I visited the strangest church last night. We do ritual sacrifices around here. I'm just kidding. We don't. Let me get on with the message. Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah, it's good to laugh, ain't it?
Amen.
Nothing wrong with it. The Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Amen. Now I was thinking, some of us, one of us that knows anything about music, going to have to rewrite that Unclouded Day song. Now, you know, I think about it a little bit. The word God don't even appear in it, I don't think. And King ain't even capitalized. I was looking at that thing a while ago. No wonder Willie Nelson liked that song so good. Yeah. And listen, you know, I know kind of what it's getting out, but Elijah had an unclouded day.
Amen.
Yeah, that's not the unclouded day I want to see. Josh made me think of it. He said, as much as I like the rain, I was like, whoa, yeah, that's something to that, you know. The unclouded day don't have to be a blessing. That could be a curse. Amen. So we're going to have to pencil in Jesus or something in that song somewhere. Amen. It's kind of a modern day trend to sing about Him.
Right.
We love Him. Well, Him could be Johnny Carson. Amen. Amen. So we might have to pencil in something there. I like, that's a good old tune and all, but there's plenty of good old tunes. We want to be specific about who we're singing about. Amen?
Amen?
All right, now, some things Grandma knew. Let's turn to Jeremiah if you're already there. And where to start reading? What a wonderful chapter this is. This is one of them old-time chapters that most preachers don't preach out of no more. It's not encouraging at all unless you're getting right with God. But anyway, look at it. And let's start reading. Let's just read verse 16. And I'll try to contain myself. But anyway, Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls, but they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen," that's what we was talking about this morning. You remember I read you the verse, he said, "I'll set me upon my watch." He's talking about a watchman. In the Old Testament, the watchman represented God's preacher or God's prophet that was sent to watch over the nation of Israel or the congregation, and they was to watch for your souls. And so that's why he said, "You shall find rest for your souls," but they said, "We will not walk therein." He said, "Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet, but they said, we will not hearken." Sounds like a bunch of Baptists to me.
Amen.
Sounds like a bunch of modern day Christians to me. Amen. Now I like Baptists. I reckon I'll always be Baptist. I don't reckon there's no need in changing now. Matter of fact, the Bible says, "Meddle not with them that are given to change." But I'll tell you what, the hard-heartedest people that I know of is just religious people.
Amen.
Amen. And a lot of folks are just Baptists in name only. Being Baptist don't mean nothing if you don't know Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And that goes for the rest of religions too. I don't have time to preach a sermon on the Methodists and the Presbyterians and the Catholics and everything else. I just leave that with you and you understand it, don't you?
Yeah.
Amen. So he says, "Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet, but they said, we will not hearken." Better be careful that you don't never tell God, "We won't do it. We won't listen. We won't listen." Verse 18, he says, "Therefore hear ye nations." Oh, you say, well, he's talking to the nations, preacher. Well, next he says, "Oh, congregation," that's you. I know he's talking to the congregation of Israel, but we got us a congregation in here, don't we?
Amen.
The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. When it says, "Oh, congregation," I'd listen up if you're part of a congregation. Are you?
Yes.
Amen. So he says, "Therefore hear ye nations and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words." Because they have not hearkened unto my words. Because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and the sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish. Well, I've been asked many times, what's wrong with this country? I've got a good idea that what's wrong with this country is the Lord has turned against it. Yes, sir. People talk about, the Bible talks about in Romans chapter 1, said if God gives you light, gives you understanding about a thing, you turn your back on that. He said that he'll turn you over to a reprobate mind, that you'll do those things which are not convenient. And the more I look around, I find Americans doing things that ain't convenient. Amen. And it describes a homosexual in Romans chapter 1. Amen. You know, I read in my Bible that the sin of Sodom was idleness. Plenty of bread. God don't say that the judgment, or God don't say that the sin of Sodom was homosexuality. Homosexuality is God's judgment. Amen. The problem is you got too much time on your hands.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. He says, "To what purpose cometh to me incense?" I'm sure God more than one time has said, for what reason come prayers to me from America? I believe that. Listen, we're standing on the threshold, Brother Clint, of the day when the Lord's going to come. And listen, the best thing you can do is gather your chickens up underneath your wing and pray with them and lead them and guide them in the right way to go and get just as little of the influence of the world as you possibly can, because it's a dangerous time that we live in. And if there's anything that we need in this day and time, it's the wisdom of those that went before us. Amen. Amen. I was thinking about this today. You know, I don't know why a group of folks, like we have had some good Christian folks in this country. I think about, you know, what our grandmas and what our grandpas had to go through. You know, they lived their life pretty rough, especially those that come up through the Depression. You know, people talk about, you know, those were the good old days, and I think they are. Of course, I do appreciate air conditioning. But it is a mystery. It's a mystery to me why God would take some of those old folks that believed the Bible and had a little taste of old time religion and put them through a depression and let them work a hot day out in the field all day long and then let a bunch of sorry reprobates like we got today sit around in air conditioning and drive air conditioning cars and work a 40-hour week inside and get away with it. I'm a little confused about that. Amen. I know one thing. God knew your grandma could take it and you couldn't. We'll just let that sink in for a little bit. That's truth if I've ever told it. Listen, if nothing else, if we get nothing else out of the sermon, you ought to be an example to your young folks and to your grandchildren, your children and your grandchildren, about hard work. About putting up with some hardship. I might have to back up and get this row again. This feels like the ground's a little tight here. It's like trying to disc up clay, ain't it, Brother Curtis? Brother Curtis come over to cut his ground one day and run into some clay. Had to go back and get a different kind of machine. I might have to go back over there to the house and get a different kind of machine tonight. Sound like we got some hard-hearted folks in the place tonight. This is the kind of message, you know, you ought to be in tune with already. Amen, preacher, that's good preaching. I was telling them out there, I said, I hope, you know, the chickens don't shout louder than the Christians do in here tonight. Get real quiet and we'll start hearing. I don't want to hear no chickens tonight, just you Baptist chickens, amen? So let's go back up to verse 16. Let's pray and ask God to bless this. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. God, I thank you that a merry heart does do good like a medicine. But God, sometimes we need more than a little laughter. We need a little, I guess, casserole, something that don't, you know, necessarily suit us, but God will help us in the end. Of course, I don't know how much casserole ever helped nobody, but God, I pray you'd help us to take our medicine here tonight, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me. I pray you'd fill me with the Spirit of God, and I believe that you already have, oh God. And I pray, God, you'd help me to preach and help me, oh God, to tell the truth and, Lord, be faithful to your word. God, I want to be faithful to these people, and I want to be faithful to this church, to where you called me, God, and the people to whom you called me to preach. But God, more than anything, I want to be faithful to you. I want to be faithful to these words that's in this old book that I have. And God, I just want to I want to preach a little while tonight, God, on some things that'll help us. Some things, God, the last generation seem to have had well in hand. And Lord, I thank you for what you do. Thank you for what you've already done, God. And may you bless this place, oh God. Help us, God, to lift up your name and glorify your Son. And we'll thank you and praise you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, now looking back up in verse 16, he says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old path." He said, ask for them. Ask for them. He told them back in the Old Testament, he said, sit down and mark these bulwarks and learn about this thing. He said, in days to come, they're going to ask, what do these things mean? What are these things? And you're going to have to tell what it was all about. And listen, we live in a day and time where there's not going to be many people left in about 10 or 12 years that even knew anything about old time religion. Right. I don't think that meant, you know, listen to a record player instead of a CD or something like that. That's not what it's all about. Listen, there's something to the Christian religion that's worth passing on. And there's some things that are quickly getting away from us that the older generation had that we just don't have no more. And so he says, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old path. Where is the good way? I'm continually down on my knees saying, God, teach me about how to be a real Christian. Now listen, I don't think, listen, if there was a real Christian in 1950, if there was a real Christian in 1900, I believe they can be a real Christian today, and it don't necessarily have to do with your lifestyle or what kind of car you drive or what kind of transportation. Listen, you can serve God riding a horse just as good as you can ride around in a Cadillac or whatever else you want to drive. I mean, I think a lot of times we are ruined by the modern things that we have. But I believe you can serve God. Yeah. Matter of fact, you can do it a lot easier than some of those folks did. I mean, if you got to ride a horse to the next church you're preaching at, that's pretty rough. Especially if you got to go more than a mile or two. But you and I, listen, we can get in our car and drive down the road, and we can drive 50 miles to witness to somebody in a day if God laid it on our heart to do that.
Yeah.
You realize 110 years ago, if you wanted to talk to somebody 70, 80, 100 miles away, you had to write them a letter and it'd take 6 months to get there.
Yeah.
We're in good shape, amen.
Yeah.
These are the good old days, whether you know it or not, whether you realize it or not. These are the good old days. We don't have any excuse. We've got, I believe one of the reasons why God let technology advance so fast from the 1950s is because He knew the way we were going to be living our lives, and we ain't got no excuse now. Well, you know, God, I would have served y'all except for I couldn't make it to town. Or no, sir, you ain't got no problem where that's concerned.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. We live in a country, listen, we live in a country where welfare people got a Cadillac and cable television in every room.
Yeah, we do.
Amen. Thank God we live in a country that can afford to help people that need help.
Yeah.
But listen, if you got a Cadillac and a full freezer, you ain't poor.
That's right.
Ain't that true?
That's right.
Amen. You well off and don't know it.
Yeah, right.
The reason you don't know it's because you complain all the time. And there's something about my grandma. And listen, my great-grandma, I like to make response to her. Listen, she was 98 years old when she died. And she was old when I was a little kid, but you know I never heard her complain not one time.
Praise the Lord.
I mean, she just knew better. She knew better. And she had so much common sense, I didn't hardly like to be around her. Because I didn't have none. I was just a kid. Kids ain't got no common sense. Brother Clint, I got out behind her house one day and I found a battery. And I said, I wonder what's inside of a battery. And I couldn't get the wrapper off of that thing. I started chewing on it. And the next thing you know, my lips swelled up about the size of a watermelon. I don't know what got on me, but something got on me. And you would think Grandma would come running out there, oh, you sweet poor baby. She'd come out there and said, what's the matter with your face? I'm chewing on this bed. And she said, why, stupid? sweet grandmother. Amen. She said, batteries ain't made to go in your mouth, son.
Yeah.
I guess you're right. But I never heard her complain. I mean, she had good sense, but she didn't complain. I know she had something to complain about. Her husband was gone many years before her. Had to live her life, support youngins that don't want to do right. Sometimes I think grandmas ought to continue to whoop their own youngins. You can spoil your grandchildren. You say, well, their youngins probably be about 35, 40. What? Yeah. They still need whoopings. They still need whoopings, amen. Matter of fact, what's wrong with your grandyoungins is probably your youngins. But anyway, I never heard her complain about nothing. I'd go over there in the middle of the day, summertime, be hot in their house. Grandma, won't you get an air conditioner? Can't afford it. You got more money than you know what to do with. Well, you never know, a rainy day might come. I can take it. Mama say, you want to go spend the night with Grandma? Yes. Yes, I'd certainly do. Go over there and spend the night with Grandma, just me and her. And she's an elderly lady. Listen, folks get about 45 now and they think, well, I'm too sick to work. I just can't. I just can't do nothing. I will get up in the morning and come in there early. Kids wake up early until they get on, till they get about teenage years, and then they want to sleep all the time.
Right.
Amen. But then I'd get up early in the morning. Amen. Somebody getting pointed out back there. Yeah. That's all right. I know. The preacher knows. Don't worry. But anyway, if you're a teenager, I know you're oversleeping. Amen. I've done some oversleeping since I was a teenager. But anyway, I go in there early in the morning. My grandma would be in there, Brother Henry. And just me and her. And she didn't eat. I don't know if I ever seen my grandma eat. It's like grandmas don't even need to eat or something. But anyway, I come in there. And this happened every time. That's why I wanted to spend the night with grandma. Well, I wish I could have appreciated some better things when I was little and had my grandmas and grandpas and preachers. I wish I would have, had better sense when I was younger. Why can't youngins think like a 45-year-old? Then you don't take advantage of grandmas like we do.
Amen.
I went in there, Brother Pedro, and sat down at the breakfast table, and there was a whole pot of scrambled eggs, a whole plate of biscuits covered up, jelly and butter and bacon and ham. I'm talking about a whole table. And I'm looking around. You do know I can't eat all that, don't you? Well, you just eat all you want, honey. Yes, sir. You say, what was it? She weren't lazy. She weren't lazy. She weren't complaining. You know, she's probably happy to do that. Happy to provide. That's why you see so many grandmas and grandpas with their grandchildren. Grandma and grandpa's happy to provide things, while youngins just worried about themselves. Bunch of 25, 26-year-old folks with youngins and got too much to do to take care of their own youngins. They need to be took down to the town square and hooked up to the post and whooped with a switch. That's what they need. Well, you just don't understand. Yeah, I understand. Wicked as the day is long. Proud. Conceited. Selfish. And that's why they're depressed all the time. I bet you my grandma didn't know what depression was. Her daughter's son knew what he knew what depression was. He sat around all the time fussing at the world. I didn't get my proper break. I didn't get what was coming to me. You better be glad you don't get what's coming to you.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
But that boy one day decided he wanted to get what was coming to him. He wanted to have his way, and he took a pillow and slipped that pillow over my great grandma's face. That woman could have helped him in every way possible. And he smothered her to death so he could take a few dollars out of her pocketbook and go get what was coming to him. Then he died and he got what was coming to him. Went through a devil's hell. I can remember when I was a boy sitting there around that woman's lap, her just pull out that old book and begin to read, and every once in a while she'd take down her glasses.
Praise the Lord.
Wipe her eyes and put her glasses back on and read. Listen, we need some folks like that. We need some folks that'll sit down with their Bible and it be mean enough to them to bring some tears out of their eyes. Got these folks today sat around listening to Kenny Chesney and cry and weep. Oh, ain't that a sad story? No, it ain't no sad story. It's a bunch of fake, put out mess from Nashville designed to keep you busy away from God. That's what it is. Amen. This book meant something to your grandmas and your grandpa. And listen, if you're unfortunate enough to have grandmas and grandpas that live like hell, I sympathize with you, but that's not the normal case in this country. We live in a country that came from serving God. Now folks only serve Hollywood or Nashville or L.A. or some junk like that. You can have that fake, made-up mess.
Yeah.
I hear these fellas getting on television saying, oh, our country needs... You know, these Hollywood movie stars get on, we need to elect this man and we need to do this and we need to do that. Shut your mouth. You make your living playing in a sandbox. You don't tell me what to think. You have no opinion that interests me whatsoever. Well, Brother Mike, you know that actor, he went to college. Big deal. Big deal. My grandma went to the School of Hard Knocks. And she taught me a few things about a few things. Matter of fact, college is probably what messed them up. Amen. Amen. Well, this message is not going the way I thought it was going to go, but I feel like it's going the right direction. Amen. Amen. Listen, some things that Grandma, you see what it looked there in verse number 16 again. It says, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old path. You say, why would he ask you to ask for the old path? Old path is better than the new path. It's better. It's better, listen, it's better to spend a hard day of work than it is to sit around the air conditioner and do nothing. It's better. The old ways is better. The hard way is all, we don't enjoy it now, but the hard way is always going to be better. You know, I make that garden out there, and I don't really like, you know, hoeing and all that stuff. I really don't like that stuff. But brother Richard says, why do you shovel them rows up like that? And I said, well, it's hard work. Yeah. It's hard work. I spent most of my young days as a lazy good for nothing. Now I got a pastor's job where I don't have to do that much physical labor. I don't have to carry no boxes and stuff like that. Listen, what you ought to do every once in a while is find a way to make your life difficult. You've been spending so much time trying to make an easy way out that you ain't good for nothing. If hardship ever comes, you are going to be in trouble.
Amen.
You're going to be in trouble. I mean, if it comes to hard work or feeding yourself, what are you going to do?
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Amen?
I guess you'll just have to get you a country song that identifies with you, and you and that music radio will have to sit around and whine and cry about it.
Right.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
That's all you'll be able to do. Need to get out and do hard work. Make them boys and them girls get out there and mow the yard.
Amen.
Amen. If they whine about that, listen, I already know you got a riding lawnmower. It sure is hard work. Try pushing 4 or 5 acres.
Amen.
I used to tell my daddy, I said, can't you turn that horse loose in the yard? We had a couple of horses. They love grass. Daddy, turn that horse loose. No, son, you got to push it. Oh, man. If I only had some things that I got now when I was a boy. I really wish I understood some things. And listen, some of you young folks, you're going to grow up and say, I wish I understood. I wish I understood. Because I can remember getting mad as I could be. My daddy, he knows I could be fishing or I could be wandering across the mountain doing what I want to do. I could be doing all this stuff. And he's making me rake this horse poop out of the barn.
Yeah. Yes, right.
I didn't understand, Brother Curtis. Now I'm a grown man. I got kids of my own. I look around and I say, them kids got to eat.
Yeah.
Watching television, playing the PlayStation, it just don't put no food on the table.
Yeah.
Amen. I don't know that, but there's probably several grown men in this building probably complains every time he has to get up and go off to work.
Amen.
You better thank God you've got a job.
Yeah. Yeah.
And got a way to put food on the table. And you better thank God you don't have to go out onto a 100-acre field and plow for it every day.
Yeah.
God's been good to us. Don't even talk about no mule, brother. Ain't nobody in this building knows nothing about no mules. Except for maybe some folks that's older than, you know, than me. But anyway. Some of you probably ain't never seen a mule at work. I was standing out there. I went and got Austin and them on Saturday to go fishing. And I was standing out there cleaning out a place for them to sit. And I heard his... I said, what in the world? And I looked around. I said, that's a mule. I hadn't heard a mule since I was 10 years old. I thought somebody was dying across the road. I said, what in the world is that? I was just hoping it was behind a fence or something. Ain't nobody. Old mule. You don't know nothing about mule. Next time you're standing at your workplace going, I hate this place. Just imagine going out early in the morning, just before you can see, and hooking up to a mule and going out to an old tobacco field or something and start dragging a single section harrow across that field all day long until you just barely can see at night, and then go in the house and lay down and go to sleep and get up the next day and do it all over again. And you'll quit crying about having to flip a hamburger or sew a piece of cloth together. You'll be okay.
Amen.
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 Yeah. I just don't think I have to put up with this. Boss man come in and say something a little rough to you. If you'd work harder, he wouldn't have to fuss at you all the time. Come in and fuss at you a little bit. I've got my rights. I don't know why you're talking to me like this. That just goes to show you ain't never had to do no work. Grandma put up with it for a lot less money. When I got to be about 12 years old, Mama said, it's time for you to get a job.
Yeah.
I said, what? A job? Now before that, listen, you would think you'd get allowance and you get to go buy all this stuff. I know how kids are today. They get money and they think, oh, this is wonderful. When we got allowance when I was a boy, we had to buy our clothes with it.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of allowance to buy a pair of pants, I'll tell you that. Mom, I like to go buy a bottle of pop. Well, you got school coming up in 4 or 5 months. You better save it. You'll need some new pants and new shoes.
Amen.
Like, man, I really wish you wasn't my mother. Really, that's exactly what I was thinking. I certainly was. And then you get up, you're about to be a teenager, and Mama said, you got to go get a job now. It's summertime, you ain't got nothing to do all summer. Go get you a job.
Yeah.
I wanted to go fishing this summer. I got me a brand new Zeb coat. Well, got to go. So I said, well, what kind of a job am I going to get? I'm too young to go to work at Haynes or Spencer's or someplace like that. I can't go. We had a big plant down there, Procter & Gamble, and made the irons and all that stuff. Down in the town there, I could have went. I said, I can't get a job there. I said, well, you have to work where I work. I said, well, where did you work? I thought she meant for her mom. I went, no! She said, you'll have to go to the tobacco fields. They'll give you a job. Oh, well, I could probably do that. Lord have mercy. Get in that tobacco field in the early morning when it's all wet and sticky and grab that stuff, priming tobacco and putting it underneath your arm and carrying it around all day and be all sticky and gummy and itchy and sweaty. And my goodness, after you get all that junk and put it in the tobacco sled and the mule drags it across the field and go in there and put it on them sticks and hang it up in an old hot, stinking tobacco barn. I said, Mama, don't you know our preacher preaches against cigarettes? And you want me to hang this stuff up? My God, that's a little bit hypocritical to me, I think. You know, kids think that way. Be careful, adults. Kids understand a thing or two. But I guess she wasn't worried about the cigarette part. I never did smoke a cigarette. I know some poor Mexican somewhere is having to do all this work for me to have this filthy habit. I might have thought about that way. But anyway, I got the end of that week. Man, the first week I thought I was going to die. And then here comes payday and this man comes by and hands me a little check and folds it up, put it in my pocket, get in the car and open it up. You're not talking about 12-hour days. You're talking about all-day job. $24. I looked at that check. I said, Mama, you reckon he made a mistake? And she said, let me see that. She reached over there and got it and looked at it. She said, that's pretty good money. $24, Mama. I worked all day, every day, blistering sun, water out of a bucket, salt pickles to stay alive. What in the... $24. I thought the world had come to an end. You know what Mama said? She said, I had to do that same work. She said, I made a quarter a day. A quarter a day. For some farmer that's making a mint once he carries it to market. Oh, that ain't fair. Welcome to the real world.
Amen.
Welcome to the real world. Grandma, you know what point number one is? Grandma knew it was hard work to raise a family the right way.
Right.
It's still.
Yes, sir.
It's still hard work to raise a family the right way.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
it is.
You can cut all the corners you want to in order to try to make it easy, but it ain't making it easy. It's just making your family easy. It's making it easier on them to go do whatever they want to do. Amen?
Amen.
It's hard work. Listen, it's hard to look a kid in the face and say, work a little harder. Because you know they want to go. You know a kid's heart, don't you? Some of you, 70 years old, you still got a kid's heart. You'd still like to go play a little bit, wouldn't you? Yes, sir. Hey, listen, I'll tell you what. As long as I was on that row of tobacco, I didn't learn how to cuss till I quit doing that kind of work. I didn't know there was such a thing as cussing. I never learned about that stuff till I had enough time to sit down and watch television. Idleness gives you time to pick up bad habits.
Amen.
That's not written in the Bible, but they used to have a saying, idle hands is the devil's workshop. You say, well, that's not in the Bible. Since when did you start caring what was in the Bible?
Right.
Amen. That's just things Grandma knew. Grandma knew it was worth it. Brother Henry, I know you hire and fire people, or you hire people and stuff like that. When's the last time you got somebody that really wanted to work? Some of you business folks that's owned a business and had businesses, when's the last time you found somebody that really wanted to work? Now, I realize that work is not very desirable. I realize that. But listen, that's what you have to do in order to provide for a family. You have to work. I mean, the work... Work and labor is associated with the curse. I understand that. And I think all of us had rather go sit on a fishing bank somewhere and fish than to work in a tobacco field all day. But it's going to come to a place in your life where you have to make a decision between the easy road and the hard road. And at the end of the hard road, there's profit. At the end of the easy road, there's no profit. There's loss. And the sad thing to me is, Brother Mike, is that a lot of people have taken the easy road, got down to the end of that road, found themselves in want, and looked around and said, it ain't fair. It ain't fair. Well, look at this guy. He's got all this stuff, and I ain't got nothing. Well, if that guy that's got all the stuff got it by hard work, God bless him.
Amen.
There ain't nothing wrong with profit. I don't care what Berkeley College says about it. There ain't nothing wrong with profit. I imagine socialism does appeal to a bunch of deadbeats that don't want to work for a living.
Yes.
Amen. And if that offends you in some way, there's another church down the road, they'll help you out.
Amen.
I really do not care.
Amen.
Amen. Grandma knew some things, didn't she? Number two. Are y'all still with me?
Amen.
Grandma knew that there was a difference between a church and a social club. Grandma knew the difference. Grandma knew the difference. Listen, my mama knew the difference. Yeah. You're afraid about what I'm going to say next, ain't you? Listen. When my grandma and my mama first started seeing these fellas come on TV, when it first became popular to have all these TV preachers and stuff, this is for the shut-ins. No, it's for folks too lazy to go to church. That's what it's for. So what about all the darling shut-ins? Record your service and take it home to them. Grandma knew the difference. Now I'm going to blow on you folks and you're all going to pass out. No, you're not. That's maybe from your bad breath, but the power of God ain't going to come in and let me breathe on you and you fall out. I don't find that in my Bible. No, sir. Listen, if you could resurrect my dear old grandmother and bring her in here into some of these churches that's going on today and set them down for 1 minute, she wouldn't know whether she's in a rock concert or a country music concert or whatever the case is. There's a difference between a social club and a church.
Right.
Amen. Listen, let me tell you something. I don't know if you know this or not, but the only reason that we come here together is to preach the Word of God and encourage one another to serve God.
Amen.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. It's not a social club. I think this church right here goes out of its way to gather together and eat. Praise God. You can at least say amen to the eating part, can't you? But we go out of our way. We go through all that stuff. But really, that's extracurricular. All of that stuff. We do that because we love one another and we don't mind being around one another for the most part. Amen. We don't mind being around one another and we can put up with one another and we love one another because we know we all cut from the same bolt of cloth. Amen. We're all in bad shape. We get around and encourage one another. But listen, the main purpose we come here for is to preach the Word of God, to preach it straight, to preach it honest, and to encourage you to go to your places of business or whatever the case may be throughout the week and live for the God that loves you enough to die on the cross and shed His blood for you. That's what we're here for. We're not here to have a concert. We're not here to have a theater and put on the latest play that's going around. I just can't find that stuff in my Bible. I'm not saying it's a desperate sin or nothing like that. I just say I can't find it in my Bible. Awful quiet in here. Awful quiet. But that's what it's about. Listen, did you come here tonight to get something from God that you could take with you tomorrow and that you could chew on a little while and say, this would actually make my life better if I would listen to it? I hope you did. If not, you're not going to get a benefit. If not, the only thing this day has done for you is that when you get to the judgment seat, God's going to say, I told you so. And you're going to say, when did I tell you so? And God will say, that skinny little preacher I sent that everybody in your town despised and made fun of and smirked at him while he was making his little speeches every week, that's the one I sent to you. And God will say, when that little skinny fella stood up and talked, that was me talking to you through him. That's what preachers are, I hope you know. It's a watchman sent to watch for your soul. One of these days you take the easy road, God's going to say, hey, I told you. The Bible says so that they'll be without excuse.
That's right.
Without excuse. Church is for you to learn who God is.
Right.
For you to learn how to walk with Him and fellowship with Him. And listen, if I didn't leave church with my pants legs, without, you know, if I left church and my pants legs wouldn't tore all to pieces from the switching, I wouldn't even feel like I'd been to church. Let me just say this. I really don't need encouragement.
Yeah.
I didn't say I didn't want any.
Yeah.
I just said I really don't need none.
Yeah.
Listen, if I was sitting out there and you were sitting up here and you was just pouring all this encouragement out, you might be encouraging me to keep watching the same old filth I've been watching. You might be encouraging me, you great, wonderful people. Listen, you're talking to people that might be drinking beer or gambling all their family's money away. They walk out and say, us sweet, wonderful people, I must be doing the right thing. I'm not going to give that kind of encouragement. Oh, I will give you this kind of encouragement. Are you saved tonight?
Yeah.
Well, glory to God. When you die, everything's going to be wonderful. When you die. Things is not going to be wonderful here. That every once in a while, everything will be just wonderful. Every once in a while. Listen, we heard a preacher a couple weeks ago. Some of you went with me down there to that meeting and heard a preacher. And you know, they get up there and all this stuff. They're going to preach and make these wonderful points. And he says, every valley has two mountaintops. Oh, ain't that good preaching? Until you fall off the other side of the mountain, you find out every two mountaintops got three valleys. How about that? A lot of this preaching is just invented to encourage people to go on in their sin, not worry about stuff. I'd be worried about your sin getting ready for the judgment, amen? Grandma knew that. All the things we could learn from grandmas if we only had two or three more hours to preach this sermon. Which we do, I just know you can't take it. But anyway, you know, my grandma's church didn't have no air conditioning. You say, well, Brother Mike, you lived up there in the mountains. You do know Georgia and Virginia is, you know, pretty close together. You know, when we didn't have electricity in Virginia, y'all didn't have it down here in Georgia neither.
That's right.
And they were still Christian folks down here. And they went to church.
Yep.
Preacher, I just can't come back here no more. It's too hot in here. Ain't y'all got no air conditioning? I've heard it all, Brother Curtis. I've heard it all. And I'm sympathetic with you. I like air conditioning myself. But man, some people in this world have went through harder stuff than we went through.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Did you know there's Vietnamese kids who, you know, crawl through a trash pile and get their meal and then get set up and have their little meal in the morning and come to a church where there's no air conditioning? And I guarantee it's a good bit hotter in Vietnam than it is here in South Georgia. Go back home and eat a handful of rice the government might distribute out to them, then come back to church on an empty stomach. You got it good, people. Driving a fancy car and a nice car. And at least if you ain't got air conditioning in your car goes fast enough you can roll your window down and get a nice breeze. We're blessed all the way around. We just don't know it. We're in bad shape. God forbid if we was to have a depression in this day and time. People wouldn't even have sense enough to get right with God. Amen. Amen. Grandma knew the difference between a social club and a church. Amen. Social club's a place for gossip. A church is a place for old time religion, which I still do believe in. Amen. I like it. I like old time religion. Just to put it just in as plain English as I possibly can, my grandma knew when the preacher was full of crap.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All this New Age preaching and self-help and all that stuff, that is not preaching. That is not found in the Bible. It's not found in the Bible. All this, you know, partnership stuff you hear on TV, that is false. That is baloney. You know, send us your money and be our partner. Why don't they share the profits with you? You ain't no partner. You're a sucker. Yes. That's exactly right. Don't send your tithe money to some of these preachers. Yes, sir. Put your tithes in a local church.
Amen.
Yes, sir. The tithe goes to the church.
Amen.
You want me to tell you? You know, back when I was a boy, our preacher told us, you know, about some fellas. Like, for example, what's the name of that fella that wrote the late great Planet Earth? Hal Lindsey or something like that. He used to be a straightforward preacher, a straight shooter and stuff like that. Our preacher was behind him 100%. But he got on television and got popular and folks started sending their tithe money to him and God broke his mind. Yes, sir. That's what happens. Christians take the tithe money out of the church and send it to some other place and God breaks that place. You don't do that.
Amen.
You don't do that. If you want to get broken in a hurry, rob God.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Some of you folks I hardly ever preach on tithing in here. Maybe I should. Well, listen, if you don't tithe, your house is broke.
Amen.
Yes, sir. And if you're getting some kind of prosperity and not tithing, God has stopped dealing with you.
Amen.
That's truth.
Amen.
That's the kind of preaching my grandma got.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now listen, I don't know how she done it. I really don't know how she done it. But in the early 70s, I was telling you about my great-grandma made all that meal and stuff for me. She didn't have a job. Had her own house. Made all this breakfast. Listen, I know some folks work 40 hours a week, can't afford some of the breakfast I ate at her house. Where'd she get that money? I know when the collection plate come around, she'd give. The Bible says you give and He'll give to you. Amen. Matter of fact, I ate better at Grandma's than I did at Daddy's. He made a lot more money than she did. And please don't holler at me that she probably got her money from the government, because I know what the government gives now, and I know my grandma wasn't eating bacon. She wasn't eating high on the hog and low on the chicken off of no government check. I promise you that.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised though that the folks that are looking forward to that.
That's right. That's it.
I can't remember who it was. I don't want to accuse one of these girls, unrighteously or nothing. But somebody in this church told me that they knew a girl in this town that was fixing to graduate school, and her claim was that she was going to get out of school and have her a couple babies so she could get on welfare.
That's it. That's the way. That's it.
That ain't no way to live.
That ain't no lifestyle
to envy. Mm-hmm. Grandma knew better than that.
Amen.
Amen. You're not going to get something for nothing.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Talking about old carnal preachers. But anyway. Number three. Grandma knew that the Bible was worth more than gold, even when the money was worth something.
Yeah.
I'm surprised at what people really don't know about money. I'm just about done. But I'll say a few more things, amen?
Yeah.
Just in case I ain't made you good and mad enough yet. I'll slip a few more things in, amen? Listen, I hear folks say, well, these oil companies, they're, you know, making billions and billions and billions of dollars, and they keep raising the gas prices. All them terrible corporate monsters, you know. Gas prices ain't going up because of an oil shortage.
Right.
Gas prices ain't going up because of some corporation trying to take over the world. Gas prices are not going up because gas prices are going up because your dollar ain't worth nothing.
That's it.
I can't figure it out. Well, it ain't too hard to figure out if you quit watching TV a minute, stop listening to Fox News and Rush Limbaugh a minute, you'll figure a thing or two out.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. That's right.
Your gas prices is going up, and your grocery bill is going up, and everything you own that you pay for every month is going up because your dollar bill ain't worth nothing. First and foremost, God's against you. But second of all, your government keeps borrowing money, and every time they borrow money and print money, your dollar's worth less.
That's the way it is.
Yes, sir. That's the way it is. But I'll tell you this, I know this. My grandma, she come through the Depression, and this Bible was good the whole time.
That's right. Amen.
Just because the money turns into nothing, don't make these pages untrue. Listen, if you come to the place where your money ain't no good and your car won't run no more and your job shuts down and all that stuff, this Bible will still be true and God will still be faithful. Some of you think if you don't get a raise and if your company don't open up a new building every month and you think if you know the president ain't exactly, you think the world's coming to an end. But no, sir. All that stuff could go away and God would still be faithful.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Oh, I got a raise. That's God. Oh, I got fired. That must be the devil. Not necessarily.
Right.
So you're looking at life from the wrong perspective. You're supposed to look at life from God's perspective. Not your perspective. The sun sets and rises in your life according to your household, and that's not the way it's supposed to work. God is so good, He gave us a raise this week. God's good if you get fired tomorrow. Which, if I keep preaching like this, I may be the one getting the pink slip. But that's all right. I was listening to a sermon of my preacher the other day. He was talking about old Wesley. They fired him, and he went out and stood on a tombstone and preached. Amen. Just stick to it. Y'all fire me, I might stand in the parking lot and preach to you what I really think. Amen. That'll tickle you. But now this book you got in your hands worth more than gold. When your money don't mean nothing, this book is still true. Listen, when your heart has been devastated by some grievous event, and I realize there are some things in this world that can move you to tears that you never think you'll get over, but when all the world is crumbling down upon you, this old book is the only source of satisfaction and relief and joy that you're ever going to have. Listen, you can come and counsel with your preacher, and I got no words of comfort for you besides what's contained in this blessed old book. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
Listen, a dollar bill has never gave one man one moment's rest. Not one. But this book has.
Yes, sir.
I found myself without money. I found myself without substance. And every time when I go to this book, He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I own the cattle of 1,000 hills. And Brother Curtis, there's been a few times in my life when I hadn't been able to provide. And a knock will come at the door. Just thought you'd need some of these fish. Or just thought you'd need some of this old sausage. Or thought you'd need some of this hamburger. God makes a way every time.
Amen.
Amen. He's the way maker.
Amen.
Amen. He's faithful.
Amen.
Amen. And the marvelous thing of it all, Brother Pedro, is He's faithful to us.
Amen.
He's not just faithful to some far off people that we read about in a mythical story or something like that. He's faithful to us.
Amen.
God, listen, let me tell you this. God was faithful to rebellious Israel as an example of how wonderful and merciful He'd be to a bunch of backwoods knotheads like you and me. Listen, if He would put up with rebellion from the people that saw the Red Sea part and the manna fall from heaven, if God would be merciful to people like that, wouldn't He be merciful to you and I who have never seen His great and wonderful miracles and who have trusted Him by faith when the Israelites never would do that? You and I live in a great time, a blessed time, when all we've got to do is turn to the one that's faithful to the faithless. And He'll take care of all of our needs. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your goodness and for Your mercy. I thank You, God. Lord, I was thinking about the testimony that my grandmother left to me, God, about Your faithfulness and goodness. And I thank You, God, for laying this message upon my heart. God, I pray that You'd help some young folks in here understand that they're facing a hard life and a tough life. And God, help them to be thankful for every moment of joy and every moment of levity and every moment, God, that they get in their lives, Lord, where it seems like they get by without having to labor. God, help them. And help them to be truly thankful for those moments, because the day will come when all that they'll have to do is labor and toil from one day to the next. God, help them to be strong. God, I thank You for these folks. God, there's folks in this building who have led a life of labor and are now reaping the benefits of it, God. And Lord, I thank You for them. Help them, God. Encourage them, Lord, to encourage their younger generations, God, to go the right way. Oh, God, I remember, God, when I was a boy, my old grandmother, God, if something was wrong, she would call it wrong. If something was right, she would call it right. And God, I pray that You'd give us a new generation of folks that would call it like they see it, God. And Lord, we're not always right, God, but we always can take a stand on what we believe is right. And God, if we'll stay in this book, we'll be right. And I believe that with all my heart. Thank You for a faithful witness in this old Bible. And God, I pray You'd help us, God. I believe that there is hard times ahead for this old country, God. I know that sins have to be paid for. And You said in Your book, we reap what we sow, God. If that's true, and I know it is, Lord, then we've got some things that we got to face as a nation. We got some things that we have to face as individuals. We got some things that we have to face as a family, God. And I pray, oh God, You'd give us a heart of repentance right now before it comes, God. It may be that You'd be merciful to us. Oh God, You told Jonah to tell Nineveh, 40 days and I'm going to burn your city down. But they had a repentant heart, God, and that fire never came. Oh God, I thank You for Your willingness to repent you of the evil that you thought to do to sinful man. Your faithfulness to unbelieving hearts, God. And Lord, I realize it takes faith to please God. But Lord, You've been faithful and merciful to many a folk that wasn't faithful to You. And God, I thank You for Your goodness. I thank You for Your mercies. They knew every morning, God. Lord, I pray You'd help us tonight. Help us and lead us in the way that we ought to do. Help us as we go to our homes tonight, dear God, to be ever mindful, God, that You are a merciful God and a loving God. Help us, oh God, to be mindful tomorrow that there's souls in danger. God, help us to point to the Savior that loved us and died for us. And then, Lord, help us and come back on the appointed hour on Wednesday night, God, and worship You and serve You in spirit and truth. And then, Lord, bless the meeting that we're going to over the weekend. God, have Your will and way. Lord, I pray that every one of these folks could come with us and, God, get a blessing and Lord, learn something and, Lord, get something that down deep in their heart, Lord, that will cause them to be a stable, faithful Christian. I thank You, God, for what You do. Help us, oh God, to remain faithful in this last day. And Lord, I know Your reward is for it, God. Lord, I thank You for everything that you've done for us today. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. God, I just want to stand here before the people, oh God, and proclaim before you and before these people, God, that I realize that I am nothing but a sinful man, just like every other man and woman on the face of this earth. I'm no better. I'm no better, God, than anybody else. I just know the truth, God, and the truth must be proclaimed. Oh, Jacob, God stood before Pharaoh and said, I'm no better than my fathers. I'm no better than my fathers, God. I know I'm not better than my fathers. I'm much worse. But God, you've been merciful to me. Help me, oh God, to repay your mercy, God, with due diligence. And I'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Christ's name I pray these things. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming tonight. You this